but I ask the Lord earnestly to forgive me and to keep me on the straight path. And I just want to tell you all, you know, we can slide back. We cannot be doing what we know in our heart that God wants us to do. You know, a lot of our preaching is about the lost, and it's so important about the lost that they get saved. But you know, there's some of us that's been saved a long time that may not be doing what we're supposed to be doing as a Christian. Maybe we need to come back to Him and start living for Him and doing what He wants us to do. And if we'll do that, it'll draw us all closer together, and the lost will be saved.
Yeah.
And as long as I live, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be here, and I ask Him today to please forgive me of my sins. I love all of you.
Bless you, Juan. Appreciate this morning, appreciate your willingness to follow the Lord. That's what we need to do. And I'm thankful that God is willing and He's able to show us that we're one of His. We know by the Spirit of God that it bears witness with His Spirit, and I'm thankful for that. This morning, as we was appreciate the good singing this morning, thankful for the good piano playing, and we're blessed. And his sister Mary Lou was playing this song. It just, I don't know. I guess this song just has a special place in my heart. I love it. You know, it says, "For a sinner condemned and unclean, I know that the Savior is waiting, and His sweet face will be the first that I view." And He's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for Him. And that song just means a whole lot to me. And thankful this morning thus far for what's been said, what's been done, what I've been able to feel. We need the Lord's help this morning. I might ask you if there's anything else on your heart before we move on in order of the service. Anything. Anything at all. If not, I do need your prayers. And I need the Lord's help. And I don't know. It might sound a little odd. I don't know exactly where this is going to go this morning. But I had a thought. I don't know, probably about Monday or Tuesday of last week. And I was thinking, last week I tried to preach on something along the lines, is it fair? And I don't really know if I've done a good job relating that or not. But we got to talking about our Ebenezers. And I'm thankful for those places that God gives us when we do have a desire. As He said, come unto me. And He says He stands at the door and He knocks. And if any man knocks, he'll open. And so I pray that we have a desire to come to Him and look to the Lord to be our help. But I guess this morning, if I had a thought, it's just been on the glory of God. And Moses asked the Lord, there in Exodus, we'll be taking our reading from 2 Peter this morning. But Moses asked the Lord, he said, "Show me thy glory." And he wanted to see the glory of God. And not long after we come here, I don't know, maybe our second or third sermon as you pastor, I preached on the glory of God. And I want you to know this morning that we as God's people, we need to see the glory of God. We need to see who He is. And I'm thankful that there's times in our life when we can get to that place. When we see, and boy, it's hard to understand the glory of God. But I want to try this morning to relay some of these things. I want to take, like we said, our reading lesson from the second epistle of Peter. do bear with us. He says here, the writer, Peter, the apostle, and do bear with me here. Let me find my place. I didn't plan on reading this till just a minute ago. He says, in the ninth verse of this first chapter, he says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For whatso an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, you know, though you know them, and be established in present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have put these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when you made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And we also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light which shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And with the mistakes that we've made reading, the Apostle Peter here encouraging those readers that they may be put in remembrance of the things, and he goes through this epistle and warnings as far as false teachers, relying and trusting upon the truth of God's Word, and following the Lord spiritually in a way that we know how. But here Peter is talking, and there's a lot in this. I've talked about, take heed lest we fall, and the Apostle Paul speaks of some of those things. But Peter here says, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure of your calling and election sure, for you do these things, you shall never fall." So I realized this morning that's a pretty profound statement that Peter makes. But I'm thankful this morning that if we make sure of our calling, that we use the talents that God has given us, that doesn't mean that in this life there's not going to be hardships and things. But I'm thankful this morning that we might stumble along the way. But I'll tell you this morning that we need to get picked back up and get on the move for God. And I was just mentioning here Wednesday night, I'm afraid that we live in a day and time where most of us are asleep. We go through this life and most of us are not looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. I don't know where your heart is this morning on it, but I want you to know that He can return today if that's what He desires to do. I don't know the hour, nor do I know the time of His return, but I do know that He has told us to be busy, to be working and to be laboring for Him. And if we do stumble and if we do fall, then we need to get on the move, to get back up and keep looking towards the One that we draweth our help from. And he says here in this 11th verse, he says, "For so ministering to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
He said, "Wherefore I will not have you be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." He says, "though you know them." He said, "so I want to bring to your remembrance of what the Lord Jesus has done." Now, he brings them, and I guess our thought here would come from this 16th verse. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made them known unto you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Now, I want you to know that this morning there's a lot of fictional tales in the world today. It doesn't take very much for us to get on the television to find fiction made-up stories. There's all kinds of things out there today, even on the internet. There's all kinds of things today through TikTok and all kinds. There's everything out in the world today that would tell you or try to explain to you how good life can be. They want to portray to you that if you'll gain this whole world and you go out here and do this, then you can have this. Life only gets a little sweeter by the more that you gain. But the Scripture tells me if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, then you've not gained anything. He says, "for where your heart is, there is also your treasure." Now, he told them, he said, "we've not come to you in cunningly devised fables." He said, "this isn't something that we've just set aside and decided that we'd make up." And I'll just be honest with you, when you look through the Old Testament and you look through the New Testament and you see the eye count witnesses, there's no way that it can be made up. There's just no way. There's no way collectively that writers that was 700 years, 1,500 years, thousands and years apart could know. There's no way that it would all fit together. There's no way. And he says, "we've not come to you in fabled, cunning stories that we've devised and made up." He said, but when we made known to you the power and the coming of Jesus Christ and were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He said, "we've seen Him. We've experienced Him. We know what we're writing about. We've seen Him. We've been there with Him." Now, can you imagine that? I mean, this morning, can you imagine what Peter is saying? Well, let's read just a little bit of it, and I'll try to get back over here. 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, Jesus here in this 22nd verse, he says, "saying the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day." Now, he says here in this 23rd verse, and he says, "and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life and lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my works, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and is his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain and prayed. And as he prayed, he fashioned and his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which was Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which should be accomplished at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he had said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which had been seen. And I want to stop there for just a moment. So here is what Peter is describing that he experienced in the mount. So here it is that Jesus has just told his disciples. And you'll find over in the 17th chapter of Matthew this account, and also in the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter, all of these three accounts of the same thing. But it says here that as Peter is describing this, he said, "We've not come to you and devised fables." Now I want you to understand that they had done experience some things that God in the flesh had done. They had done seen the things that he had done. They had done experienced some of these things. The turning the water into wine and different things throughout the miracles that we read about in the Bible. But I mentioned last week as I was preaching about the glory of God and talking about emptying himself. And I mentioned, and I had to back up on that, I mentioned that he didn't come in his glory. And I had to back up on that, and I want you to know that that he retained all of the glory that he had when he was in heaven and even while he was here on earth. But I want you to know this morning that the glory that he had, that it was here as he was in this human form, he didn't walk around with that glory all the time. But I want you to know that God here in the flesh, that's who Jesus was God in the flesh. As he had prayed all night to the Father, or he had prayed, and he had went up to the mountain and he prayed, and as he prayed, his fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Now I want you to know that we call this the Mountain of Transfiguration, which means a metamorphosis. There was a change that was made. I want you to know that he appeared into all of his glory as he was there. And that's what Peter is trying to say. As he looked up, they had been asleep. And I'll tell you sometimes that I don't want to get too much on James and John and Peter. But I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of times that we're about halfway asleep. If we're just being honest, there's several times throughout the Scripture when we look that we'll read about the apostles as Jesus would go off to pray, which I would have you to mind, I don't believe was maybe just a few minutes. I believe when he went to the Father in prayer, he went to the Father in prayer. He got down and he got to business. He was wanting to talk to the one that could help him, could show him, because he was being obedient to the will of the Father. He came to be obedient and to follow the will of the Father. Now, he went to prayer. And as he was praying, I don't know how long he was there, but I believe he got down to business. And he began to pray. And as he was praying, and those apostles were sleeping, the Bible says that his raiment was white and it was glistening. I want you to know that he took on the form of something bright. It was glistening, as Brother Buddy was talking about this morning, that he's the S-O-N, he's the sun. And my friend, you think about how bright that the sun is. The Scripture tells us in Revelations that there'll be no need of the sun in that city, because he is the sun. He is the light of that city. I want you to think about when you begin to stare at the sun and it's out I can't stare at it very long. It hurts my eyes. But I'll tell you, that sun, my friend, there's no hurt in it. We can stare at him and look upon his glory. But I want you to know this morning, as they was asleep and they become awake, they looked up and they seen the Lord Jesus and they beheld him. And it says, "Behold, there talked with him two men, which was Moses and Elias, when they appeared in glory, and spoke of his decease, which should be accomplished." Now, when I thought about that word deceased, well, let me back up. Here appeared Moses and Elijah. he looked up, and I want you to know that they had never met them before. Moses had died maybe about 1,500 years before we read about the apostles. Elijah had died sometime maybe around 900 years before we read about this account. And I may be off on my time just a little bit there, but there's no way they could have known them in the body. But as they looked up, they recognized who they was. They seen them for who they was. They recognized them. Now, that I'll get to that point maybe if the Lord will help me here in a minute. But it says, as they appeared in glory and spoke of his decease. Now, as they were talking, I don't know maybe how this conversation went. I don't know. I don't know. I was just thinking about it and praying about it through this week, and I thought, wonder what they was talking about. All we know is they was talking about his decease. I don't know if the conversation went, well, Jesus, you know this sin load that you're fixing to have to bury, if you're fixing to have to carry, you're going to have to go to Calvary. See, he looked out and he could see Jerusalem. He knew where he was going. He knew what lied before him. He had just told his apostles. He had just told them, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He said, and let him, suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. He was telling them what was going to happen to him. So I don't know, this is just me, but the conversation Moses and Elijah was having with him, I don't know how that conversation went, but I just wonder, I believe they were there to strengthen him, and I don't know, to have been a fly on the wall. But the same one, as Moses was there, and you remember, he asked him, he said, show me. He had talked to the Lord, the Bible says, as he speaketh to a friend. He said, show me thy glory. And what was it the Lord told him? He said that he would hide him in the cleft of the rock and he'd say his hinder parts. He couldn't behold all of his glory. But Moses here is beholding all of his glory now. He's getting to see every bit of him. He talked about his decease. You know what decease means? I never knew this. Decease means an exit. It means departing. Another translation of it means a road. By implication, a progress, the route or act or a distance. Figuratively, a mode or a means, a journey, a highway. They didn't talk about it. I don't believe they talked about it in a sense of what we think about when somebody has deceased and now they've died. I believe they was talking about, I'm fixing to make an exit out of this place. And my friend, I want you to know that that's what happens to all of us. That's what the word Exodus means is a departure. It talks about when the children of Israel left out of bondage, they made a departure, they made an exit, and the Lord helped them. Now, I talked about his exit, if you will, or his departure. Let me say this. This same word implies a way when Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He is the way. And each and one of us, one day after a while, is going to make a departure. And it's through and by Jesus Christ only that we're going to get there. Anyway, I want to move on. It says, Peter, it says they were heavy with sleep, and when he awake, he saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed, he said, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, he said, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he's saying. Waking up out of his sleep, and let me ask you something. How many times does the presence of the Lord Spirit come upon you, and you don't even know what to say? I found myself in that many times. I've had people tell me, When I get to heaven, I'm going to hug his neck. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get to heaven. I don't know if I'll be like Peter is here, not knowing what to say, not knowing what to do. I'm beholding the glory of the only begotten Son of God. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm telling you, heaven's really going to shine. He's going to be there. And that's what Peter's saying. He said, I'm not telling you some story that's been made up. Some story that I've just decided that would sound real good. He said, but I beheld him. I was an eyewitness of his majesty. You know what you think about eyewitness testimonies? He was an eyewitness. I guess I'd probably, it's too hard to pick on poor Peter. He said, well, Lord, let us just make a tabernacle for each one. He didn't know what to say. But then there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And the voice was passed, Jesus found alone and kept it closed and told no man, and said and told no man in those days those things which they had seen. Now, Jesus says this in the 17th chapter of John, 5th verse, as he's praying. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me and thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, I've come down here in this world. I've took upon me this flesh. He said, the foxes have their holes. The birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathan said. He was despised. He was rejected. He was looked down upon because of his pedigree, I guess you could say. And here it is. He says, restore unto me the glory that I had before the world was. I don't know, folks, I can't tell you how my heart feels this morning. But I want you to know that there's something to behold about the Lord Jesus. And maybe I'm not doing a real good job this morning of explaining it. But I'm telling you that when we preach or when we testify, when we speak about the things of God, when we pray to the one that can help us, my friend, we need to go beholding the glory of Jesus Christ. We may not have been eyewitnesses of His glory, but I'm telling you, I've had an eyewitness account in my life of what He's done for me. I was there. I was present when He brought me from death unto life. I know what I felt in my heart. You may not feel what I feel, but I know what He done for me. I know the times I've went to Him in prayer and it didn't feel like I had a chance in this everything going on. And I went to Him in prayer and I'm an eyewitness that God showed up. I can't tell you the times that God has answered prayer and I beheld His glory. And you know when it gets rich, when you just finally get down to a point and you just say, wow, God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I want you to think about this for a minute if you don't get anything else out of this. That God would choose to speak to somebody like me. That He wants to hear from me. That He wants to talk to me. And He wants us to behold His glory. That's amazing. Now, the writer says this, Paul, and I'll try to get finished up here. Paul says this, 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And I know in part, but then shall I know even as I, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as also I am known. And as he's speaking here about love and charity, he's talking about that that faith that as we look through a glass darkly, and he's talking about this mirrored reflection that we think about. And I wanted to read to you this, and I'll get back to this. In this 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, Paul says this. And he's talking about having a veil. But he says, but, let me back up here, 13th verse. And he said, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, beholding in a glass. I was thinking about it, and I didn't realize this, but the Corinthians there in Corinth was known for their brass or bronze antiquities as far as the mirrors that they would make. They would be made of metal, and they would polish them until that you could get a reflection on them. And so Paul uses this reference twice as far as a reflection in a mirror. And he references this twice in 1 and 2 Corinthians. But I want to reread this once again. He says, nothing less, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And I've mentioned that several times here in the last two or three weeks. But when you turn to the Lord and you turn to Him with your whole heart, that veil that separates us and His glory, it's removed. It's gone away with. So when you turn to Him, you can behold His glory. Now listen to what the writer says. He says, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now, what does that mean, beholding it as in a glass? We get a reflection of it. I haven't seen all the glory of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when I will. There's coming a day when I will see Him in all of His glory. What does the writer of Revelation say? Well, he says this in his 5th chapter. And I'm about to be done. The writer in the 5th chapter says this. He said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look upon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. As John looked up, he didn't weep. He recognized that lamb. He had seen him before. And my friend John, too, being an eyewitness. But he said he stood and he was as a lamb slain. And my friend, this morning, there won't be any wondering who the Lord is when we get there. I don't know this morning. But I'll tell you, if all that I can do is behold him through that glass, and I just get a reflection of him sometimes, just sometimes, I don't know if I could stand being in the Spirit all the time, Brother Strode. I don't know. But boy, I get hungry. I get to want to behold his glory just for a moment or two. And boy, even if you get to beholding his glory just for a moment or two, it comes in and it ought to be a sweet something to your heart. We look through that glass from glory to glory. Paul said we look through a glass darkly. Meaning, as we look through it, I don't know this morning, I have had people ask me questions down through the years that I just don't know. And I've got to the point that I just tell them that. I don't know. Because I don't know. But I'm thankful that one day, and that's what Paul says in the remainder of that verse, he says, I'll be known as I am. And he said that what I didn't know, he said, not that he'll be as God, but he'll understand as perfectly as he can when he gets there. So there's coming a day out in the future that there may be a lot of questions that I don't know, but I'll understand it better by and by. And all that we can keep our eye focused upon is the glory of the one who came and gave his life for us. The world wants to tell fictional stories. There's so much out in the world today, and so many young people see things, and you preach about how Jesus Christ came and gave his life on a cross at Calvary. Jessica told me one day, I preach my heart out here. And she said, honey, it's like it's not having an effect on people anymore. When you think about what Jesus Christ went through, how they whipped him, and how it tore the flesh from his body. People don't like hearing about that anymore. We can watch gory movies all day long, but you talk about what Jesus done for mankind, some reason we got a problem. But you think about what he did. You think about the price that he paid. You think about how that they mocked him and how they spit on him like he was trash. And I'm telling you, they done this to the one that he said, return to me the glory that I had before the world was formed. See, children, there's so many things on TV now they hear about what Jesus done. It doesn't seem like it has an effect anymore. But I want you to know what's written in that book. Peter said, I was an eyewitness of it. He said, I experienced it. I seen it. He said, regardless if you believe it or not, he said, I'm writing it down because I was there. You know what the Apostle John says? I told you I was done. Song leader, if you'd be getting us a song. John says this. This is some of my most favorite scripture. He said in this 20th, I'm going to read two portions here. 20th chapter and the 30th verse, he says, many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He said, I've penned these things down years after they had happened. The Spirit of God, his remembrance was brought back to him. He said, I've penned them down that you might believe and that you might know. Now listen to what he says here in this remaining portion of Scripture. And I'll try to be done. He said, and this is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things, and we do know that his testimony is true. He said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. They just give you a small portion of what's happened. But they were there, and they witnessed it. There's sometimes in this life I only get just a small piece of it. But one of these days, I'm going to decease too. I'm not talking about this life as far as I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm going to die one day. But I'd like to think of it as an exit. I'm going to exit out of this old world. I'm going to depart. I'm going to leave. And then I'm going to step over into that beautiful shore. And I'm going to see the one that gave his life for me. I'm going to behold all of his glory. And I'm going to be there forever. I'll be able to behold it perfectly, Brother Strode. I won't be looking through that glass darkly anymore. I'll be able to behold it perfectly. That'd be our thought this morning. Go ahead, Brother Strode.
Get our mulls and turn to number 357. Glory to his name. Everybody stand. 357 in the mulls.